Razor's Edge Audio presents Star Wars Second Strike by Nathan Butler. Based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Back, Falcon Tie. Two stormtroopers coming this way.
There's no way we're going to get all the way through this place and find Duron with Stormies and who knows what kind of security systems in place. Especially when we don't even know where in the Citadel Duron's office is.
His office.
I could see Chris flinch against the memories as her mind flashed back to her captivity.
74. He's on 74.
And we're on what?
10 high security levels, followed by 5 medium security, then the armories and detention levels.
So we're somewhere around 20. It's a hell of a hike. Clope, you can pick up vibrations. See if you can pick up any large source of vibrations. There has to be a power substation or something around here.
I will attempt, Falcon Tire.
While Clope stepped over to the wall and pressed his ear to it like a child eavesdropping on an older sibling, I took the relative silence of the moment to take Kristara aside. Are you...
I'm fine.
You never were a good liar.
What do you want me to say?
I don't... You don't have to go with us. We can find someplace for you to hide and come back.
No. I'm not letting you leave me.
Never?
Never.
I love you, Chris. We'll make it out of here.
Duron won't.
There sounds as if there is a power substation approximately 3 levels above us.
Good.
What do you intend, Valkentine?
I hope you like the color red. The nearest power node was just a few meters away from where we'd stopped. The box was predictably reinforced to prevent tampering, but I figured a handful of blaster power cells rigged along it would generate a bank even this overhyped-fused box would succumb to.
Are you sure about this?
It should work.
We will be down to only one power pack per blast of Valkentine.
This works. That's all we'll need.
We are ready, Valkentine.
Do it. Clope pressed a button on the node and stepped back to huddle with Chris and I. As I'd planned, the feedback loop charging through the power cells was more than they could take. Within seconds, the node had overloaded and the packs had exploded. The Citadel went dark. Well, for a moment, anyway. Emergency lighting came up almost immediately, bathing the hallways in a crimson light. It wasn't the most appealing of hues, but if it meant that Duron's forces would be denied access to fast-moving lift tubes, security measures would be at their bare minimum, and we'd be harder to see on our way up to 74, hey, red just might become my favorite color. We made our way up through the Citadel, floor by floor, sometimes climbing through lift tubes, sometimes taking stairs, and once even finding it necessary to skirt a ledge running along the outside face of the structure. Every stormtrooper we found, we avoided or incapacitated. Every door that was locked, we bypassed or picked. You could say I was leading the way like a man on a mission, but that's precisely what I was. I hadn't come here to take on the man I sought, but now, there was no other way. When a weed threatens to overrun a garden, you pluck it out. When an animal is a menace to the rest of the village, you shoot it for the sake of the villagers. When a man has become more than a sadist and less than the god he believes himself to be, you shoot him point blank in the head and smile as what's left of his brain spins through the air in surreal slow motion. Some would call me a sadist for harboring such thoughts. Others would call it righteousness or at least justice. The primal voice in the back of my mind doesn't call it anything. It just tells me that this is what has to happen. There's a painful emptiness to Kristara's eyes. Duron has taken more from her than I can possibly fathom, and now we will take everything from him. A balance of pain for pain, loss for loss. Only in the end, he'll lose more. I swear it. And neither stormtroopers, nor guardsmen, nor the gods themselves will stand in my way. When we hit the 73rd floor, we caught our first glimpse of the last security checkpoint. A few of Duron's stormtroopers were checking in with what appeared to be Duron's head of security. A rugged, ugly bugger in desperate need of a shave. He wore what might have been an Imperial Security Bureau uniform if it hadn't been for the sleeves torn off at the shoulders, the bandana wrapped around his head, and the symbol of Duron's forces on the upper left of his chest. The Blastec DL-44 heavy blaster pistol hanging at his hip wasn't exactly a welcoming sight either. Within a few moments, the troopers disappeared into the lower levels, leaving him the only thing between us and the stairwell to Duron's private floor. Well, one more floor. Now who's this fine, outstanding citizen?
Plytar Shun. Duron's head of security.
Plytar Shun? The privateer?
Former privateer.
Perhaps Duron pays better.
For all the years I've known this guy, he picks now to start cracking jokes. Well, let's say hello to our new little friend, shall we? When I was younger, I smoked tobacco because I thought it would make me look older. I figured out pretty soon that it just made me look a bit scummy. I wasn't surprised when Shun pulled a tabac stick from his pocket and held it to his lips, padding for a laser lighter. I was only too happy to help him out. Need a light, pal? His eyes opened wide, and the stick nearly fell from his lips when he heard my voice. I can only imagine what fluids were filling his pants as I fired one blaster bolt right in front of his face, lighting a cigarette for him. He turned toward me, about to pull his blaster, but with his vision a blur from my shot, he didn't realize how close I was to him. His forehead bumped straight into the barrel of my blaster, and his hand froze at his side, knowing that an inch closer to his holster, I just might relieve him of his head. Uh-uh. Bad scruffy. Cloak, check the door.
The door has its own locking mechanism, Valkantari.
Okay, Scruff. New game. You tell us how to get past the lock, I send you on your way. With soiled underwear and a bruised pride, but alive. What do you say?
No.
I didn't think so. Sure you won't change your mind?
You're dreaming.
Nope. You are. What are you looking at me like that for? Let's see what we can do with the lock. If we can't get it, we just wake his ass up again.
And if he does not answer then?
Then we shoot him.
I believe we can, as you say, hotwire the locking mechanism, but it will require our last power packs to service the entire system. It is quite complex.
I'll leave it to Duran to use his citizens' money to protect his own slimy skin.
I suggest that we wake our friend there and ask him for the code again.
Jaren.
It would keep us from having to waste our power cells.
Jaren!
What is... Cloak and I both saw what she was yelling about at the same instant. Shun had come to and pulled his blaster to take aim at Cloak. Next time, mental note, disarm the riffraff even if they're unconscious. Cloak spun and took aim on Shun even as I was doing the same. We opened fire before he could decide which of us to shoot first and caught him against the wall in a near crossfire. I lost power to the rifle after my first four shots. Those troopers who took them from must have had a busy day. Cloak would have stopped on his own eventually, but his cell ran out amid his many blasts and he received the too annoying click of an empty blaster several times before giving up on roasting Shun any further. What was that, darling?
He's awake.
Do tell. I dumped my empty weapon and scooped up Shun's from where it had fallen with our first shots. Not like he was going to be needing it again. So, Blue, about that hot wiring. Next stop, office of the big man himself. Just stick behind me.
I am armed as well, Valkantari.
That rifle? It's empty.
It's a club.
Mine can shoot.
Mine can break bones.
Mine kills faster.
Not necessarily.
Boys!
I've got point.
On your lead, Valkantari.
And they say the mine should be up and running in 10 to 12 days.
No, no, damn it. The Ceridian mines must be operational in 1 week. We've got 3 arms manufacturers waiting for that ore, and I've got too much riding on this alliance to let some nerve-stroking bureaucrat screw me out of it. Get on the comm with the mine supervisor, and tell him that if I don't see his fat, bloated ass in this office in the next 30 minutes, it's going to be a happy little dinner time tonight for my battle dogs.
Yes, sir.
From out of sight, we saw Duran's assistant leave and make his way down the hallway. From the looks of things, the aide had just gotten a nice tongue-lashing from the Grand Serpent himself. Hurt feelings weren't our problem, though. What was our problem was the gent in red standing next to the door. I would have hoped that all the Emperor's Royal Guard would have gone the way of the Massassi and faded out of existence without an Emperor to guard. Apparently, though, at least one remained here on Ferrisol. It was just our luck that he was employed as guardian of Duran's personal office.
It would appear that our target's taste in armor comes with both white and red, Valkantari.
So it would seem. Okay, you two stay here. I'll take care of the visor head. In retrospect, that would have been a good time to have sent Cloak to make the first move. He's always been good at slinking around without a sound. My need to protect my subordinate and my girl, though, meant I had to do it myself. It's a decision I'll regret forever.
Halt!
Aw, hell. Somehow, some way, the guard had heard my approach. He pushed aside my blaster and hit me across the face with a back fist before I knew what was happening. The next thing I knew, I was on the floor, sprawled on my back with the blaster just out of reach. The guard had taken 2 steps toward me with his force pike when Cloak came out of the shadows and sent him into the wall with a kick. Cloak dueled with the guard, using his empty blaster rifle like a club. He gave the guard a swift whack across the visor and sent the guard slumping to the ground. He turned to see if I was all right. There's no way he could have known the guard wasn't out. Since when did the Empire train its soldiers to play dead? This one did, though. And before Cloak could even get within 3 meters of me, the guard was up again, and I saw the end of his force pipe come charging out of the center of Cloak's chest. Cloak's normally intense eyes grew large and distant. I let my gaze fall down from them and back behind Cloak, where the guard stood with his pike stabbing into Cloak's back. I swear, from where I lay on the floor, I could almost hear a laugh from beneath his helmet as he pulled it out and filled it and flooded as all the water Cloak's organs and stored came rushing out of him. The growing puddle reached toward my feet and I fought back the urge to vomit. As it was, I didn't even have time to do more than choke back a cry of remorse. The guard had already turned his attention to me. From the shadows, I heard a voice.
Jaren!
Chris, stay back! Kristara's call had pulled the guard's attention away just enough. I rolled sideways from where I was lying, letting my stomach and palms roll over my downed weapon. By the time I came upright, I was already squeezing the trigger. One shot, right through the visor. One more body on the deck. Cloak! Cloak! I kicked the guard's body aside, nearly knocking his combat dagger from his boot as I half ran, half crawled over to Cloak. I checked to the side of his nose where the Jurassic impulse can be found. Found none. I could feel Chris move up beside me, but I didn't look up. My eyes were fixed upon an ornate wooden door. The man responsible for all this pain, all this death, was on the other side. Time to pay him a visit.
Communications, get me Barsh and Vask on the link. Put him through to the office projector. Mr. Vask, your supervisor should be on his way here very soon. He will not be returning to the mine, and you will suffer the same fate if you fail me as well. You are in command of the mining operation now, Vask. Do not disappoint me. Though it's about time. What the hell is going on out there? You'd think there was a war going on.
Funny you should say that. My blast took out a beautiful state-of-the-art life-size hologram emitter. The smoke from its searing innards gave an almost surreal distortion to the air between us for the moment it took Chris and I to enter the room. For a guy with a blaster pointed at his cranium, though, Duran was not impressed. So much for my imposing presence.
Do you have any idea how much one of those emitters costs?
Whatever it is, I'll bet it'll cost almost as much to repair.
Do I know you?
No. And you won't have time to get to know me, so be a nice target and shut up.
I will do no such thing. If you intend to kill me, then you will, whether I speak or not.
Point taken. I've always liked the irony of the doom speaking last words, as if anyone really cares to listen to them in the end. We circled each other like caged animals. I don't know if he thought she was too broken to be a threat, or the Empire's sexism took over, or just what happened, but it was as if, to Duran's mind, Kristara had ceased to exist. This was about him and me. We got in nearly a full circle, staring each other in the eye when he finally spoke again.
You are a rebel, I take it. Here to save your precious sister in arms.
Something like that.
And then what? She'll be so grateful to you that she collapses into your arms, fulfilling some hidden fantasy of yours.
I saw Kristara stiffen. Something just inside her sleeve caught my eye, but she made no move, said nothing. Real men don't take it!
And why not? I have. She is quite beautiful. Excuse me, she was quite beautiful. And quite resistant at first. But she learned the futility of fighting back. Perhaps she even came to enjoy her time with me, Rebel.
The next shot will replace that tapestry with a mural of skull fragments. And you might care to catch up on galactic politics. We're not the Rebellion anymore. We're the New Republic. This time, your kind are the criminals.
Oh yes, your lauded New Republic. Out here on behalf of the people. Out here for freedom and justice, please. Do you really think your leaders can resist the kind of excesses that led to the New Order? Do you really think you are any better than those who you seek to defeat? You won't defeat us. You will simply become us.
We were circling again. He'd moved closer to where Chris stood, silent amid the shadows. Still, she stood frozen. Don't bet on it. Now here's what we're gonna do. You're going to get on the comm and order your forces to pull out from Ferrisol. You're going to do it quickly, and they're going to leave quickly, because if they don't, you're going to find yourself departing this plane of existence even faster.
What makes you think I'll do anything of the kind?
Because I know something else that you don't.
Oh, do you now?
I know where your son is. Good. I thought that'd get your attention.
How?
How did I know you were looking for him? Or how do I know where he is? The first is easy. You become a very unpopular guy in my corner of the galaxy, Duran. Protégé of Grand Moff Tarkin, murderer of thousands of refugees who tried to escape Ferrisol when you declared yourself warlord, not to mention the trail of death that seems to have followed you since you were still a respectable Imperial. We've kept some very good tabs on you. In fact, your intel file probably has more on you than you know yourself. I know your wife took your son and went into hiding soon after you became a Moff. I guess she couldn't take much more of your special kind of charm. Chris flinched at that one. Again, I saw a flicker. What the hell did she have? But I also know where they went. Intel's good about that sort of thing. They could find a virgin on Narshada if they put their minds to it. They found your boy, Duran, your son, and your wife.
You're bluffing. You wouldn't hurt them. They're not a part of this, any more than your loved ones are a part of it.
Don't bet on it. Do you really think that anyone would hesitate for one second to take justice on the family of a man who slaughtered tens of thousands, whose mentor slaughtered billions, who served an empire that brought entire worlds to their knees? No, Lord Daron. They're dead as Palpatine if you even think about refusing to turn this planet back over to its citizens.
And me.
You? You order your people to surrender or otherwise evacuate Ferrisol? And I? May the gods forgive me for making that promise. And I won't kill you.
And I'm simply to take your word for that.
What? You don't trust this face?
I try not to place too much trust in dead men.
He moved faster than I'd expected. In the time it took for him to move from dead to men, he produced a holdout knife from inside his sleeve and slid Salem right in my head. By the time I looked back from dodging it, that smirking Imperial bastard had lunged up and over his desk, no doubt to grab a blaster from one of the drawers. Chris began to step forward but stopped when I came sailing through the air myself. My leap would be down dead center on the desk. Sure enough, his fingers were just reaching for a blaster pistol in the side drawer. Oh, no you don't. I fired two bolts from the top of the desk, taking out the blaster. Too bad I was aiming at his hand. You gotta hand it to Daron, though. He took a swift kick to the face and being thrown bodily back over the desk and still managed to leap up and make a mad dash for the door. A quick blast of force will solve that problem. Another two door knocks spun his slimy ass back around, setting him up for a whip, punch, push. That is, a pistol whip to the face, a punch to the gut, and a nice push to put him right back where he was before he pulled the knife. Well, back where we started. That's pretty futile, huh? Are you under the impression this is some kind of amicable negotiation? This is not, please sir, free the planet. This is free the planet, or you and your tribe will be butchered like your victims on Jintral. This is free the planet, or you and your tribe will be tortured like your victims on Ragesh. This is do or die, you sadistic bastard. Get that through your head. I need you alive, for the moment, to order the withdrawal, but that doesn't mean I can't take your body apart a piece at a time while we wait. You know all about how painful torture can be, and how long people can live with parts of their body dismembered. You enjoy that game, don't you? Well, what do you say, Daron? You think this is a game? Fine. It's high stakes, Sabak. Make your next decision very carefully.
As you wish. Well played. Very well played.
Oh, and everything even remotely related to flash death stays.
Of course. Patch me through to the public address system. Imperials of Ferrisol, this is Lord Daron. I am hereby ordering the evacuation of this planet. All Citadel lab files and materials are to be left behind. Retreat code Omega. Make your way off-world immediately. Stragglers will be forced to surrender themselves to New Republic authorities. That is all.
And I'll do as you ordered?
One of the benefits of being a warlord. Your word is obeyed as if you are a god. Because to those you command, you are a god.
I was going to ask him exactly how godlike he felt standing at blaster point with a sore gut, a split lip, and an arm that was a mess of smoking wires, but it wasn't necessary. You could tell by his eyes that this was one god that the universe had deemed unfit to rule any longer.
This is Lieutenant Mazin on the evacuation shuttle. My lord, we're away.
Very good, Lieutenant.
He stepped toward me a bit then. No threat in his movements, no duplicity in his gaze. Just a mixture of hatred and fear rolling like acid just beneath the surface. It could only be matched by the ice one could virtually see in Kristara's eyes as she slinked behind the broken man.
It is done. This world is now free. And you will not shoot me.
For the first time in longer than I care to recall, I finally reset the blaster's safety. No, I'm not going to shoot you. I gave you my word. Like you said, we're just here for freedom. I saw Chris move, saw the light reflect off the object in her hand. It was over before I could even register what had happened.
And justice.
And with a gurgle of blood, he dropped to the floor. Dead or dying, his blood staining the polished wood floor. As he fell, Kristara stood staring down from behind him, one hand balled into a fist so hard I could see blood dripping from where her nails were biting into her palm, and the other hand wrapped around the handle of a combat knife. She'd taken it from the guard that killed Clove outside. The warrior's weapon had killed the warrior's master. On some worlds, that might be counted as living poetry. I slid my blaster back into its holster as Chris backed away from Daron, dropping the knife to the floor. In silence, we embraced. For the first time since entering the room, we finally took note of the view from the top of the citadel. The sun was rising on a new day and a new era for Farisol. And for us. The official report on the capture of Farisol states that Lord Aerolus Duran was killed in self-defense by Commander Jaren Valkan. I doubt Kraken has any doubts who really killed Duran, but I think he's just happy that another warlord is out of business. I'm just happy Duran believed me about his son. It's too bad I was lying. We didn't have any more clue where his son was than he did. Sometimes you just can't trust a good guy. Aldric came to a short time later and was thoroughly pissed. As he should have been. It's never easy admitting you were beaten unconscious by a Jaraxxkan. In the end, I think he was just happy that he was given some of the credit for the end of Duran's reign and Project Flashdeath. Even Intel has to have its own heroes. As for Chris and I, we both retired with full honors from New Republic service. When Republic forces took Coruscant a year later, we had one of the first wedding ceremonies on the new capital world. The events on Farisol still haunt us. How could they not? Chris still flinches at the sound of thunder, remembering the events that began her torment at Duran's hands. She's come through it all, though. I don't know if I could ever be that strong. But with her inner strength came power. Like I said before, it's all about power. The power to banish the darkness. The power to take control of your own destiny. The power to live and to love free. The power to choose new life over the shadow of death. Our first daughter was born last night. We named her Lara. She has her mother's eyes. You've been listening to a Razor's Edge audio presentation of Star Wars, Second Strike, starring Nathan Butler as Jaren Valkan and closing narrator, Clay Kronka as Aerolus Duran, Christopher Hannell as Clopadine, Amy Farrell as Kristara Erler, Nick Long as Duran's aide, Lieutenant Maison, Michael Smith as Plytar Shun, Jeff Yankee as Guardsman, and Abe Paterka as opening narrator. Star Wars Second Strike is based on an original screenplay by Nathan Butler, edited by Kat Murdo, Amy Farrell, and Saeed Sadiq, based on an original concept by Nathan Butler and Devin Reed. Directed, produced, mixed, and music supervised by Nathan Butler. Casting by Nathan Butler and Chris Newsom. Special vocal effects by Nick Long and Kurt Luther. The assistant music supervisor and sound effect assistant was Ian Bowie. Star Wars Second Strike is a non-profit fan production produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Wars and any other copyright materials herein, including any music or sound effects, are reserved to their original creators. No infringing claims are intended. Extra special thanks to George Lucas for creating the playground and letting us, the fans, roam within it. Nathan Butler has dedicated this final act to all of the 40-plus cast and crew from 5 countries on 3 continents who came together to make this dream a reality. The future of fan audio dramas truly began here, and you should all be very proud. Thank you all so very much. From all of us at Razor's Edge, thank you for listening, and finally, may the Force be with you.